Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. I have a friend from Minnesota, and he loves to tell spin and Ole stories. One is about Spin and Ole decide they're going to go on a hunting trip in Canada. So they hire a pilot to fly them in deep into Canada, into one of the lakes, and they're going to hunt moose. Well, they had a great week. They bagged 6 moose. They started loading the plane for the trip home, however. The pilot said he could only take 4 moose. Well, Spin and Ole argued with him for a while. And they said, look, last year we shot 6, and the pilot let us put all of them on board. He had the same plane you have. So finally the pilot said, okay, allowed him to load the 6 moose, all their other stuff. So he revved up the engine to take off across the lake. Full power, the little plane took off only a little bit. Got caught on the trees at the end of the lake and crashed. Climbing out of the wreck, Sven looks over and says to Ole, any idea where we are? Ole says, yeah, I think it's pretty close to where we crashed last year. We have a temptation at times to do the same thing we've done before, regardless of what happened, and think somehow the outcome will be different. This is a new year. We have new beginnings, new opportunities. But do we see the new in it? It's been a difficult year past, a hard year for many people. There were losses. There were losses of jobs, losses of businesses. Many people died from this disease. So it's a year of great difficulty, having to do everything differently. This year will begin with much of the same restriction, but with hope because of the vaccine, and hope that we will reach a point sometime before long that we can return to some sense of normalcy. I was reading this week some with quotes from the early Desert Fathers and Mothers. They were a group of early Christians who sought a closer relationship with Jesus by going into the desert or the wilderness. Oftentimes they'd go alone. Occasionally they were in small groups. But their insights, it seems to me, are very simple but very important for our spiritual journey. One of the things that they emphasized was never stop starting over. Abba Poman said regarding Abba Prin that every day he made a new beginning. Another, Arsenio, said, my God, do not abandon me. I have done nothing good before thee, but grant me in thy compassion the power to make a start. That's what the new year brings to us, the power to make a start, to do things differently, to learn from our past, and in that learning, make a better future. The thing about Israel was that Israel was promised God's love and grace. Israel was his chosen people. And they would promise God that they would live as he told them to live. And yet time after time, they would fall short. And time after time, they faced troubles and difficulties because they didn't follow God's will. Eventually, they came to this time when they confronted the collapse of the nation and they were carried into exile. Jeremiah had warned them about that. If you look at the book of Jeremiah, it is one long warning about their behavior and the results that's waiting. But right in the middle of Jeremiah, there are a couple of chapters that are called the Book of Consolation. In these chapters, the prophet tells the children of Israel that despite their failings and shortcomings, God has not forgotten them, that they will be restored, that they will again know the joy of God's grace and presence in their life. And he promises them that it will not only be those who are in power or authority, but the weak and the poor. young mothers, orphans. They will all know God's joy and grace. God promises that they will again experience His grace and mercy. See, the thing is that God wills life for people, all His people. He desires for His people a place to live securely, all they need for daily nourishment, and a life in which they experience His grace with joy and praise. And yet His judgment came upon the children of Israel. But the judgment was not what God wanted for them. It rather is the announcement of the destructive consequences when they ignore God's will. The prophet Jeremiah had the terrible burden of having to tell the people God's warning that they would experience punishment, that they would experience exile. But these chapters in the middle are a promise that despite that, God's will is for the people to prosper and to do well. God stayed faithful to the people through all those times when they drifted away and followed some new direction. He now promises them a new covenant which will exist in their heart, that He will be their Father, even though they haven't called Him my Father, that they will experience His grace, His everlasting love, His mercy, and His faithfulness. The ultimate revelation of God's grace is in Christ. John references grace upon grace that comes through Christ. From the beginning, God's Word, God's purpose has always been life. And God's eternal purpose was revealed in the flesh in Jesus so that all might experience that grace and that mercy. That promise, it seems to me, is so important to us in this year after so many losses, so much confusion and fear and division. One of the other things the Desert Fathers remind us of is never give in to despair. Makarios of Egypt said, "Let us eagerly draw near to Christ, and let us not despair of our salvation." For it's a trick of the devil to lead us to despair by reminding us of our past sins and failings. St. John of Carpathos would say, when someone is defeated after offering resistance, do not give up in despair. Let him take heart, encouraged by the words that God raises up all who are bowed down. Do all in your power not to fall. For the strong athlete should not fall, he says. But if you do, get up again at once and continue the contest. Even if you fall 1,000 times, rise up again each time. The Desert Fathers we sometimes see as some idealized or eccentric people who live off, but they knew and understood what it was like to live in faith and to struggle against sin and to struggle to do God's will. St. Anthony said to Poem, "Be ruthlessly realistic. Expect trials and temptations until your last breath." St. Makarios went on to say, "I am convinced that not even the apostles, although they were filled with the Holy Spirit, were completely free from anxiety. Contrary to, in his words, the stupid view expressed by some, the advent of grace does not mean immediate delivery from anxiety. It is normal to know anxiety. It is normal to experience guilt from sin and failing. But the promise is that despite all of that, God's grace is there and promised to us in the gospel. Paul, in his encouragement to the congregation at Ephesus, emphasizes that grace. It emphasizes the truth of the gospel in this world. We can and will continue, unfortunately, in our broken world, too often to live in our own echo chambers, where we are only seeing those views we agree with, We experience and share prejudices that we agree with. We ignore or discount opposing views. Truth, however, truth that comes in Jesus Christ, and truth is revealed to all people. John's hymn to the Word is truth. It starts with a truth that is undeniable and painful. There is darkness in the world. We see the darkness when we see people who confine themselves to those echo chambers where they hear only one point of view and only one idea, where they shut themselves out to the experiences of other people. That's the darkness, the difficulty and the challenge and the loss in the world. John's first 18 verses focus on that truth. Four places in particular, he says, light shines in the darkness. There is darkness. We live in a broken world, whether the darkness of COVID or the darkness of division or the darkness of anger or the darkness of suffering. But the light of Christ shines in the midst of that. Too often, however, we fail to recognize it. In verse 10, he says, he was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. They failed to recognize and see who Jesus was. And in verse 11, he came to what was his own. His own people did not accept him, even the children of Israel, who had the promise throughout the Old Testament of Christ's coming, could not or would not accept who Jesus was, the light and the darkness. And finally, in verse 18, we're reminded that no one has ever seen God. Therefore, God sent his Son to take on our flesh and reveal God to us. John tells us the truth in the midst of loneliness and longing, life in this world and all its troubles and difficulties. Too often when we hear the truth, we have trouble accepting it or acknowledging it. Too often we allow the darkness to define us or overwhelm us, to rob us of the power of the light in Christ, the grace that God gives. While there is darkness, the light shines on. The darkness cannot understand the light, and it most assuredly cannot overcome the light. While some may reject the light or fail to recognize Jesus, those who accept and recognize him recognize in turn that they are children of God, as Paul assures us in the waters of baptism. While it's impossible for us to see God, we can, through Jesus, come to know God. And that knowing of God allows us to experience God's grace. Finally, I would note the saying from Evagrius the Solitary, show the greatest gentleness toward all people. Paul reminds us we have everything we need to live according to God's word. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven through our baptism. We are children of our Father, the King. Yet we still live in this world, foreigners living among sin and darkness, but those who have seen and heard the light. As those who have seen and heard the light, we're called to live with love and grace toward other people. It's easy for us to think we're not responsible for the world. We're not charged with changing the world. And yet that's what Paul tells us we are specifically to do. In the beginning, God spoke the world into being, named the sun, moon, and stars, put them in motion, separated the water, created the oceans and mountains. He began with one man named Adam, gave Adam a wife. Later called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob became Israel, and God established his bond with his chosen people. When they failed to live according to his word, they experienced separation and isolation. But God did not abandon them and sent his Son to bring redemption and reconciliation. Grace extended not only to his chosen people, but to all the world. And we're now called to join in the work of God as we take up his gospel message of forgiveness to the world, a message that started in Jesus. Now his kingdom reaches around the world, and we're called to live according to that word, showing the gentleness of Christ toward all people, to sing his praise and share his grace, to live in his joy in the midst of this world, not because it's perfect, not because there are no troubles, but because in the midst of that, we can live in the joy of God's love, of Christ's salvation, of the promise that in the end, light will triumph and life will come to us in eternity with our Savior. Amen.